Hey everybody, welcome to Bikescape, episode number 49.5, June 10th, 2006. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bikescape. We're sitting outside today. This is an unusual podcast. You may have already noticed in your podcatcher that there's a couple of movies in there. I haven't decided if it's going to be one movie or two movies, but podcasting movies today. I saw that we're out in the... Let me tell you where we are. We're out in the wind, as you can probably tell. And at the end of... I'm sitting here with Frank Chan, the filmmaker of these movies. And we're sitting out in the end of Octavia Boulevard, the newly revamped Octavia Boulevard, in this park. There's some struggling palm trees and pretty beautiful garden here, right where there used to be a double-decker freeway. And there was a podcast about a year ago, which you may be able to dig up if you go to bikescape.blogspot.com and check the archives. There was a tour given by, Robin Levitt and... Tom Radulovich, the two people that pushed it through politically. This beautiful boulevard that, well, it's having some problems. There was just an accident just down the road, actually, that Frank was trying to help with. But it's all new to us. We're all trying to figure out how to make a boulevard that's safe for bicycles, can move a lot of traffic, and is a nice place to live. So we're sitting here, and there's a couple of kids learning how to ride on some kind of toy bike, and there's a play structure, and there's some grass, and people with a dog, some funny haircuts.
Hopefully the trees will grow in, too.
Yeah.
Right now they're all pretty short.
Yeah, little tiny palm trees. None of the trees really belong here, but it's still pretty, and it's a lot better than what used to be here. The vegetation that used to be along here was all, what was it? It was this eucalyptus covered with ivy.
Yeah, ivy.
Caltrans landscaping.
Right.
So, hi Frank.
How are you doing? Glad to be here.
So, here we are. I'm going to try not to bang the microphone too much. You know, San Francisco is this city of huge hills. People say, oh, you ride a bike in San Francisco.
Right.
It's kind of, how can you ride a place with such terrible hills all the time?
Right. Well, I was just actually recently in New York, and I noticed that it's completely flat, and yet it's also much more crowded. So, it's sort of a pick your poison, right, whether you'd rather be here in more hills or in New York.
Yeah. I noticed that. That's the choice here. You know, you can avoid the hills here, but the choice is always a lot of traffic
right. In
the valleys, or you can have a nice quiet road in the hills.
Right.
But that's the thing, is a lot of people try to avoid the hills, yet right. You embrace them.
Yeah, you shouldn't let it stop you from your route, right? A lot of times, the hilly route can be a little bit more tranquil, not as many cars. And sometimes if you can kind of just settle into a groove and get over one or two blocks, this isn't like the Tour de France where you need to go up for miles uphill. If you can just sort of muster up, get it, maybe stand up out of the seat and pedal for a block or two, and maybe it turns you out by quite a bit.
Not being in a really big hurry.
Right.
So do you live on top of a hill? You live in North Beach. There's a lot of hills there.
Right, there are. Sort of the Russian Hill, North Beach area. That's sort of my daily hill practice. But even then, I'm only just like three or four blocks off Polk. So Polk's pretty flat, and it's one of the bike routes. So at the end of the ride, it's sort of just a way to kind of get up home. It's not too bad. And then I can wipe, get a towel at home and sort of towel off.
So it's downhill to work, and
exactly.
It's uphill back home.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of hard for me, too.
Right. And what's a few blocks? I mean, even the worst blocks.
Yeah, but okay, now, so you made this movie, you decided,
right.
What inspired you to make the movie?
Let's see, I had always attended these local film fests. The one that I probably attended the longest is the San Francisco International Asian American Film Festival. I've seen that one for a long time. But you find out, almost like street fairs, there seems to be a film festival every weekend during the summer in San Francisco. And I usually like to see the shorts programs, because when you look at something like a Jurassic Park, you don't think, oh, yeah, I do that, right, in the credit roll of hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. But when you see those small little indie shorts, you think, oh, I could do that. And so I just wanted to make one sort of about the hills of San Francisco.
And it was your first movie, right?
It was.
It came out really nice.
Thank you.
Did you make it all in one day? Did you climb all those hills in one day?
No. It took me about 5 weeks to do that end-to-end. First 2 weeks, it was just sort of brainstorming, and for lack of a better word, it was location scouting, where it was basically consists of me running around. And I looked up on the web that these were the 6 steepest streets, and then I went to them to just sort of figure out how am I going to frame them differently. I didn't want the same angle for every shot. I wanted to try some different angles. In some of them, I cut from the bottom, the middle, and the top, and in some of them, it's one continuous shot. So I just was trying to look at the different angles.
Yeah, you had some low angles cutting up to high angles.
Right.
It was nice. It was a nice rhythm to it.
Yeah.
It was almost like you're natural at it. I went to film school, but I never made a movie before like that.
I'd love to, but there's always, I guess when you see the kind of indie shorts, I mean, you just kind of make mental notes. You see things you like, you see things you don't like. And
did you have somebody helping you?
For that one shot, Judy B., a local writer.
And the shot out of the car?
The shot out of the car. Also an FBC member and tour ride organizer. She threw the beans at me that I was trying to catch on, I think it was DuBose, the 4th steepest. So she was kind enough to help along with that one. But other than that, it was pretty much, I tried to shoot, because some of these are, I wanted as little traffic as possible, and even then some traffic sort of dribbled in. I tried to shoot sort of mid-morning when I thought no one would be there. And as you can see now, we're in the afternoon where it's kind of very harsh lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to shoot in the morning where it's a little bit more diffused and not as kind of overwashed.
Yeah, what they call that, the magic hour or
right,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but some of them I just woke up late and had to shoot whenever it was.
So what kind of bike do you ride?
I have a couple, or I should say 3. That one in the movie is my main sort of prissy fairweather road bike. I don't take that out that often. What you see here and the one I rode today is this similar little Cannondale. It's really a mountain bike. I bought this in the almost like a dozen years ago. I guess this is the 80s and 90s fad when everybody got a mountain bike and just rode it around in the street. So finally I got off my ass and got some slicks for it, and it makes a decent kind of commuter bike. And I still have my college beater.
The Prissy road bike, does it have 3 rings in the front?
It does.
Yeah.
That's definitely a triple.
Yeah.
On our recent Steepest Hills of San Francisco tour, a rec ride that we led.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. So you had this rec ride, and I read it on the announcement on the web. You were saying you're going to get really wide-eyed on coffee and then climb up these huge hills. Does coffee help?
Yeah, Josh was like, wrote a great description this time. And I think it actually kind of self-selected.
Josh Hart, he was your partner.
Right,
on
right. The former program director and the kind of person who arranged the ride. Unfortunately, that line at Pete's on Saturday morning was just out the door. So unfortunately, I wasn't as jacked up as I should have been, or a lot of us didn't get our coffee. Maybe that's why we weren't that fast there.
Reminded me of that movie, Steve Grace. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, it was made back in the 30s, and it was about it was a long story, but there's this one point where you, in the old days, you used to have these six-day velodrome races that was sort of just went on and on forever.
Right.
And there was this one scene that was really memorable for that in that movie where the protagonist was yelling, "More coffee!" going around the velodrome, "More coffee!"
We needed a little coffee, as demonstrated in my movie. I just like coffee, but we needed a little coffee at every stop to kind of jack us up. That would have been a lot of help.
So this movie inspired people to go on a tour with.
Yeah, well, I think people, it's a chance to try some of the steep hills. One rider mentioned actually on the tour, and he was pretty insightful, like, the whole route felt counterintuitive, because normally you try to avoid the hills, and yet we were kind of going up the steepest way possible every time. So,
so
it felt kind of odd.
You get a high from that or something? What's the attraction?
The attraction, well, I mean, it just, I got excited. I do follow some road cycling, like Tour de France and other kind of races. And it's like, in contrast to something like basketball, I'm obviously not 7 feet tall, or football, I don't watch the Super Bowl and think, oh, I could play defensive tackle, right? I'm clearly about like a third of the necessary weight. But when you see those road cyclists, they kind of look, they kind of look scrawny and wimpy like I do. So I think to myself, I could do that. And that was part of the attraction, that these are people that kind of look similar in physical stature to me.
Yeah, and it is an athletic event, right. Even nobody's watching.
Right, yeah. I was lucky enough to have one summer internship in Europe. And I did see 1 year Miguel Indurain finish on the Champs-Élysées.
Oh, yeah,
that was the first kind of experience of just, I think it's the longest I ever stood up and not moved without going to the bathroom. It was like 6 hours just standing by the street. But whenever the bikes would come around, everyone cheering, go nuts. And it's kind of my first exposure to sort of road cycling as a spectator sport.
And one of the most grueling races in the world now, the San Francisco race, whatever it's called these days, the T-Mobile race, I guess.
The T-Mobile or the Grand Prix.
So how many times did they climb the Taylor Street Hill?
They
about, what, 10
times?
10
times, yeah. And that was something we noticed on our tour, is that everybody can kind of suck it. Even I can, like, suck it up for a few streets. But what makes those guys special is their ability to handle it. Like, we were certainly going slower and slower as the day went on.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of those guys were going pretty slowly, too.
And they're racing, whereas, like, I think between hills or between streets, we were clanking and kind of chatting. So it was very much a sort of kind of schizophrenic pace where we were going really fast. We were trying to go up the hill, hammering, and then, like, we would just kind of saunter in between. So it made for a nice kind of leisure ride.
I also like the way you could, I don't know if you noticed, but you must have noticed that you can hear the parrots of Filbert
okay,
Street parrots,
right.
And they're
yep,
one of the signature
away.
Sounds of San Francisco.
Oh, that's right.
So I wanted to ask you,
sure.
Oh, you dedicated the movie at the end to your parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So were they psychs?
They did ride a little bit, as you can see from those two little pictures. I mean, of course, my dad was the first one that taught me how to ride and took the training wheels off and shoved me, and I'm sure I like ended up into the planters or the ivy somewhere. He certainly first taught me to ride and got me my bike.
You grew up here in San Francisco?
I grew up in sort of Hayward, a suburb. They went to, I think they first, when they came to the United States in the 60s, they first moved into Berkeley, and then we settled in the East Bay down in Hayward, and that's where I learned to ride and grow up.
Where did they come from?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. So
yeah, yeah.
Was there a lot of tradition of bicycling in Hong Kong, or
the
rest of China?
The weird thing is, like, I still have a lot of model cars of my dad's, oddly. Over there, it's an extreme luxury to have a car, mm-hmm. right? And of course, it's taxed to hell, like it probably should be. But it's a very novel concept to have a car, not like we're here, where seemingly everyone does.
Right.
So he still has all his model cars. But no, unfortunately, we never like really rode together, but
I thought it was really sweet the way you said, still I ride.
Yeah, no, I try to carry on. I don't know if they're, the type that would try to ride in San Francisco. Maybe like a Golden Gate Bar kind of thing is the kind of situation where they could ride Sunday closure.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, everybody enjoy the movie.
Thank you.
Oh, and one more thing, and that's very important. The reason we're doing this on this date is because the movie is going to be part of the Zeitgeist International Film Festival at the Zeitgeist Bar.
Right.
Almost wanted to record this there, but I thought we'll do that some other time.
Right.
But the Zeitgeist Bar is this wonderful bar at the corner of Valencia and Market, near Market Street, or DeBose in Valencia.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's sort of the biker. It's sort of an interesting mixture of bicyclists and motorcyclists and. It's got a beautiful beer garden, and if you want to sit out and watch this movie and a lot of other ones out in the under the stars at nighttime, this time of year, it's a really great thing to do.
There'll be 16 shorts there. They're all kind of the way they programmed the sort of indie, low-budget style. Some from San Francisco, some from other parts of the U.S., and some even from around the world.
Well, that's great. And if you're running a film festival, Brent, are you listening? Maybe you could talk to Frank about this.
So. All right.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Hey. Okay, so that was Frank Chan. Nice little talk with Frank there in the park. Yeah, so that will be at the Russian Hill Roulette movie. We'll be playing at the Zeitgeist International Film Festival once again. You can catch that's at 199 Valencia at DuBose. The movie starts at 9 p.m. It's an outdoor bar, as I said, and it's you can get there before 8 for free. Just order a few beers and have a seat. Have a nice Monday evening beer. And then at 8 o'clock, they start charging $5 to get in for the film festival. And the movie starts showing at 9 p.m. So, and it's a good idea to bring a summer jacket with you because it can get a little chilly, as you know. So that's Frank's movie. And there's also a bunch of other movies, so check it out. And speaking of movies, we're going to get into the announcements now. The Bicycle Film Festival is getting underway again, starting in L.A. this year. Let's see. The Bicycle Film Festival is the largest bicycle-related event in the country, and now it's in its sixth year. The festival brings together bikers from all styles, BMX trickster to the hardcore bike messenger to the couple taking off on an easy Sunday ride. The four-day festival is for anyone who can remember the first time they learned to ride a bike, whether it was when they were in single digits or if it was just yesterday, or for anyone who wants to learn, for that matter. After being struck by a bus in New York City, one of the world's richest bicycle culture zones, in 2000, Brent Barber was compelled to turn his negative experience into something positive. So he created this festival, and it consistently sells out shows since its inception in 2001. And has sparked international recognition for artists, including the Neustadt brothers and Lucas Brunel, who, together with the BFF, are working to show that not only does bicycle riding bring people together, but it offers an environmentally sound form of transportation without the high cost of gasoline. The festival calls on all fans and aspects of bicycling to advocate its ability to transport us in many ways. Ultimately, it's all about having fun. So we're... Brent Barber, we'll probably be getting an interview with him one of these days. His people are talking to my people, and we're working it out. He's on vacation right now, but we'll be talking to Brent sometime soon, hopefully in person, or maybe over the phone from New York. I'm not sure where he's going to be. But, okay, this the Bicycle Film Festival, it's hitting L.A. June 21st through the 24th. And it's going to be screening at the Vine Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, right there at Hollywood and Vine. Legendary corner. And it's a nice little theater, and it should be great fun. What else have we got? Let's see, I mentioned this last week. Monday, June 19th, an evening with Enrique Peñalosa. He is the mayor of Bogota, or he was the mayor of Bogota. He built the world's premier bus rapid transit system and hundreds of kilometers of sidewalks, bicycle paths, pedestrian streets, greenways, and parks. Tickets are $25 to $50. That's a suggested donation. There's going to be wine and beverages and hors d'oeuvres. And it's sponsored by Spur and Talc and Environmental Defense. And we will have links to those organizations on the Bikescape website. Check the blog. It's bikescape.blogspot.com. And anything else? I think that's about all I have to say for today. Oh, let me just go to New York. You know, we've been struggling here in San Francisco with trying to get 1.5 miles of roadway in Golden Gate Park closed on just one day, you know, a second day a month of the week on Saturdays as well as Sundays. And we've run into all sorts of opposition and troubles. And, you know, we ran it through the Board of Supervisors and it got passed, but then the mayor vetoed it and blah, blah. But in New York, they're doing something much more ambitious with Central Park. They're actually closing the entire park to traffic. Mayor Bloomberg is behind it, although he wants to open the park to traffic during the rush hours in the morning, one road in the morning and one road in the evening, which just puts us to shame, you know, even that. But Time's Up is trying to get a total closure of the road. I guess there's a three-month trial period that they're looking to get, and Mayor Bloomberg proposed keeping the loop roads open to cars in the peak direction during rush hours. Time's Up is asking you to send an email to the Speaker of the City Council, I guess it's called, Speaker Quinn. The vote is scheduled for June 13th, and Speaker Quinn is Christine Quinn is advocating for a total closure, or we're hoping there. Time's Up is hoping that she will advocate for a total closure, because that's probably the vote that will put it over the top. I don't really understand the politics in New York, but Time's Up is asking you to send an email to Christine Quinn, Speaker Quinn. You can find her at www.nyccouncil.info and check her out. So you can send her an email, and please do that. And, well, I guess that's about it. And I would like to thank you for listening to Bikescape, and I'd like to thank whoever is putting all those great messages, those reviews on the iTunes podcatcher over on iTunes. It's really nice in the iTunes store in the podcast area. You're welcome to put negative things up there too. You know, I like the idea of reviews, but I actually prefer critiques. So if you want to criticize Bikescape, tell me what's not happening, what could be better, what could, you know, things we could, you know, that would be a good thing to do too. And you can also send emails to bikescape@sbcglobal.net. That would be great. Anything you can, ideas for shows, things you like, things you don't like, your own experiences. And I always welcome audio files from my listeners, and anybody who Scott Mace has been sending in a few over the last couple of years. And if you'd like to send in audio files, I'll put them on, especially if they're good. So everybody, keep the rubber side down and take the lane. Bye now.
Machine à clous. Moi je veux être frippé, triplement frippé, frippé comme une triplette de Belleville. Je veux pas finir ma vie à Acapulco, dans ces tourelles avec des gigolos. Moi je veux être tordu, triplement tordu, balancé comme une triplette de Belleville. Allez les filles, allez. Brisé, triplement brisé, swingé comme une triplette de Belleville.